This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, a doubleheader coming up this morning on your Friday edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. First up, Risa Riggin. She's in to talk about the Lions Club Can and Bottle Drive this weekend and the Lions Club Peace Poster Contest. And a bit later, we're going to be talking about Mackay Creek with Mark Mulvihill. The conversation with these two guests starts after this.
It's time to fly. At least we always think it is. The Walwal Regional Airport and Alaska Airlines are excited to serve you, our traveling public, and to see all the fun destinations you choose. So purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and have fun exploring. The Walwal Regional Airport makes it easy to begin your trip with daily Alaska Air flights to and from Seattle and beyond. And remember, free parking. Fly Walla Walla. It works.
Let's get back to the area's only live and local morning show, the KUMA Coffee Hour, on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, good Friday morning. Dan Tespin, your host here. Joining me in this first part of the program is Risa Riggin. She's here today to talk about the Lions Club Can and Bottle Drive, which is happening this weekend, along with the Peace Poster Project. That is Peace Poster Contest, not project. But Risa, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Dan.
And well, let's get right into it here. Give us the details of the Can and Bottle Drive, which I understand is tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It's at Roy Raley Park from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we take plastic and regular cans, and we also take glass. So if you have any beer bottles around or lots of pop bottles, and everything left over from Roundup, we take.
And then I understand, goes to a very good cause. Where does all the money that's raised from this can and bottle drive go to?
This goes into our foundation, and our foundation supports a lot of different things. One of the things we supported this year was the new children's center that one. We also do a lot of stuff in the schools. We do vision screening. We do flags for first graders. And then we do the summer reading program with the library. We do a first responder appreciation day where we take cookies to all of the police and fire departments. That's always fun. They say nobody ever gives them cookies. We also, at Christmas time, it's tradition that we do a Christmas party for the National Guard. Well, this year, I didn't know, but they have a drone unit at the National Guard. So they have requested a Christmas party. So we may be giving two Christmas parties. And when we do a Christmas party, the unit pays for the guardsmen to eat. And then we buy the food for all the families. And we provide a Santa Claus. And it's just a good time.
And getting back to the actual can and bottle drive, I know that many places there's certain limits. Recycling can get a little complicated and stuff. As far as what to bring, what not to bring, what do folks need to know about tomorrow's drive to make it, I guess, efficient and worthwhile of everybody's time? I guess the rules and things to consider.
Most people bring them in garbage sacks, which is really good. Please tie your garbage sacks. Otherwise, we tend to lose the bottles and cans all over the place. We have a drive-through where you drive up. You just tell us, you know, are they in the trunk or are they in the back seat? Or do we need to empty your pickup bed? Then we take them and then you just kind of drive on through. It's really easy, simple. Doesn't take very long.
Convenience is always appreciated. Let's talk about the Peace Poster Contest. Who can enter? How it's judged? Give us the details.
Okay. The Peace Poster Contest is an international contest that the Lions have. It's for 11 to 13-year-olds. And every year, it's about peace, but this year is Lead with Compassion. when they make the poster, they can't use any words because this is international. When it gets judged, it has to be that anybody in the world could look at that and understand what the kid meant on his poster. In Pendleton, the junior high arts teacher is the one who will basically help them with their posters. They have to be done by November 15th, so they should be getting started fairly soon. Last year, our contestant went all the way to the international level, and we have never had anybody go that high. She did beautiful work. But if you go on the Lions International website, you can see all the other beautiful work that was done.
And as far as the artist, what age group are we talking about here?
They have to be between 11 and 13 on November 15th. So some of the kids in the class will make a poster, but we can't actually judge it. And the Lions, the local Lions Club, for our winners, the first place gets $300, second place gets $200, and third place gets $100. And then there's no money given until you actually get to the international level. First place internationally gets $5,000 and a trip to the UN for Lions Day. And then they have like the top 10 or something also get $5,000 each. They just don't get to go to the UN. And the kids like it. And they can use pencil or watercolors or basically anything. But it has to be on the paper. They can't have anything sticking up on it. We have to be able to roll it up because we have to send it to the next place.
And as far as entering, how do folks go about doing that?
The teacher does it.
Okay. All right.
There's an entry form that the parents sign. And the winner, we have a separate form that has to go with them. But yeah, it's very simple. The teacher does most of it in class, and it's just part of the curriculum. So he's not really going out of his way except to give us the posters. Usually, if the art center has some time, they will let us put the posters up for a few days before we have the actual presentation of the winner.
All right. And just recapping again, because there's a lot going on with the Lions Club. You got the can and bottle drive happening tomorrow. Remind us again where and what time.
From 10 to 2 at Roy Raley Park, and we will take cans, bottles, and glass.
All right. Yeah, that's great that you're taking glass. And any projections on how much money you might raise from the can and bottle drive tomorrow?
Usually, we turn into OBRC, Oregon Beverage Recycling Program. And generally, when we take a load in, it's at least $1,500, sometimes $2,000. And depending on how much we get, we may take two loads in off of this. Because we accept cans and bottles all the time, even though we only have four major drives a year. So we already have probably 20 of the big plastic bags ready to go. And then whatever we do tomorrow. So we'll break it up into smaller amounts so they don't take forever at OBRC to unload.
All right. Well, if you have some cans, bottles, or glass lying around and you need to get rid of it, put it to good use tomorrow and be a part of the and participate in the Lions Club Can and Bottle Drive. Risa Riggin, thanks for joining us this morning. And we're going to take a break, back with more after this.
You know you must be doing something right if you have customers who have been coming to your store for over 40 years. Here's Bruce Giannotti on why he has shopped at Zimmerman's since 1979.
I've been shopping there over 40 years. I've renovated quite a few properties, and I buy everything from nuts and bolts to toilets and hot water tanks and everything in between. They always seem to have what I need. If they don't, they can get it usually within 2 or 3 days.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, open 7 days a week on Main Street in downtown Pendleton.
These high gas prices are affecting all of us. Letter Bus Transit is trying to help reduce your fuel bills by having bus routes run 11 times per day to over 20 bus stops conveniently located throughout the city. You can even save going to the grocery store because they have stop at Walmart every 50 minutes. Their handy mobile app lets you track your bus in real time so you don't waste time. So start saving money today in Letter Bus. For more information, go to the City of Pendleton website.
If you or a loved one is living with memory decline or a diagnosis of dementia, it can be a time of great uncertainty and anxiety. As your partner in active aging, Mackay Creek Estates has developed a free guide to cognitive health that addresses common memory loss questions and concerns, including information on different stages of memory loss, cognitive assessments, and more. This guide is intended to provide the resources needed to live a healthy, fulfilled life at any age. Download your free cognitive guide today by visiting PrestigeCanHelp.com. That's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
Hunters, I have a bit of a secret.
Tell me!
Mud and snow are way more fun when you have the right tire in your truck, trailer, and ATV. BF Goodrich KO2, you gotta drive these.
Tell me!
Need the bearings packed on that trailer? New windshield wipers on the truck? Batteries tested? Hey, we can help. We hope you have a great season and trust what you love to your locally owned Pendleton Tire and Auto, 25 Highway 11, Pendleton. 276-2774.
Tell me!
Nope, still not gonna tell you our favorite spot.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, a doubleheader today. Now moving to the second part of this morning's KUMA Coffee Hour. Mark Mulvihill is here, and we are now going to focus on Mackay Creek. And Mark, welcome, first of all, to the KUMA Coffee Hour. And second, what is happening with Mackay Creek?
Well, thanks, Dan. Yeah, this second time this week, it's kind of nice not talk job all the time and talk about something a little bit differently. But yeah, I was asked to come on today to talk a little bit about what's going on with Mackay Creek. I live on Mackay Creek in that area right off of Struve Bridge. And really since around 2019, when we had the catastrophic flood, we've been doing a lot within the community with community leadership and citizens to figure out what can we do about a very, very complex situation. You know, the 2019 flood, as you know, caused millions of dollars of damage in the area and was a pretty traumatic event for the citizens that live along Mackay Creek. Of course, 2020, the next year, in February, was the major Umatilla event. And the only reason there wasn't a second event on the Mackay was the timing of the year, and the dam really took the full brunt of what happened on that evening in February. It was empty as it is as it heads into the winter season, and it was able to take it, or we would have had a repeat of what happened in 19. So we know we have a pretty significant issue. There are a lot of mitigating factors on there, but there are several committees that we're working with, the Mackay Creek Recovery Committee, and that is chaired by Commissioner Dan Doran. And we meet monthly, and we have all of officials involved in that watershed, from the Bureau of Rec to the tribal to city, county government. It's a very large group of people that meet monthly, and we look at weather patterns, in particular during the spring, as we watch snowpack and flow and just assist in decision making. Ultimately, the Bureau of Rec is in charge of the dam management and how much flows come in and out of that, and they're up against a pretty significant challenge with our current situation.
And take us through the flood. Share with us what that was like, because I don't think some folks fully grasp what it is like having, you know, this massive amount of water that, you know, water will go where it needs to go. It's not very easily controllable, but take a moment and take us through that.
Yeah, it was pretty traumatic because of the unknown. And, you know, what people don't realize is Mackay Dam is not meant for flood control. It's meant for irrigation. Now, there's 6,000 acre feet there that is reserved for flood control, but that can go pretty quickly, especially with the weather pattern changes we're seeing in eastern Oregon. There's a reason Mackay Dam was built where it was. It is a major watershed. In 1923, it was identified as the site, and the intent at that time, as it is today, was to provide irrigation to the West End landowners for crops and to develop the West End of Umatilla County. And so it was identified because of several tributaries feeding into it. It gets a lot of water, and a lot of water fast coming out of the Blues, all the way from Meacham as it curves around. You know, Birch Creek, of course, is on the Birch Creek, and McKike and Meacham Creek are kind of the dividing areas of that watershed. So in answering to your question, what was pretty traumatic for all of us in those spring days in April was the volume of water coming in, and you know how much is coming in, it's got to come out. And so they're trying to control it and minimize the damage. But when you have rain patterns, and we're seeing this more and more, we're seeing these atmospheric rivers that used to move on and move past, they're staying and sitting. And that's what happened in 2019, is just sat there and just kept dumping and dumping and dumping. And that water's got to come out, and that flood storage went pretty fast. And all in all, the Bureau did a really good job, and the response for the emergency was very good. But what we have, Dan, and this is what our problem is, okay? We have three entities that are really competing against one another. And tell me when you need a break here. But we have three entities that are, I don't know if the word's competing, but our interests are different. Okay. You have the West End Irrigator. That's their livelihood. They, by contract, are entitled to 65,000 acre feet during an irrigation. That's the amount that the dam is contracted to fill toward. That only allows 6,000 acre feet, and that's a maybe, because the dam capacity has been limited by sedimentation over 100 years. So in 1990, the dam was built for 74,000 acre feet. In 1990, it was computed that it's around 71, 75, so it's filled in that much. So if the amount of water that has to be stored to be delivered is the same, and your dam capacity is minimizing, that's less room for flood storage. We also have the Confederate Tribe of the Umatilla. Obviously, fish runs and first foods, that's a very important cultural aspect of who the tribe is. They have strong interests in the water in McKay as well, and own some of that water for fish runs. So what that's done, when it was identified for fish habitat, that limited our group, the Lower McKay Creek Water Control District, which is a taxing entity in that area. I serve on that board. Our chairman's Bill Wolford, and it's our job to maintain the creek banks, to keep it, you know, armored so that the banks aren't destroyed. Like you said, water goes where it wants to go, and deepening the channel. Back in the day, you had access to the creek during the winter seasons when our water wasn't running, where you could dig it out, scour it out. So think of this perfect storm. That hasn't really occurred in 20 years before 19. So you had about 20 years of sedimentation and a creek with its banks eroding and with more and more gravel deposits. So you're decreasing its capacity significantly. So it's going to spill out. It's going to tear up the banks. And then we had the 2019. So you can hear, you know, as I'm saying here, you've got a diminished dam capacity. You have the same amount of water that is critical to the tribe and critical to the West End Irrigators. But the homeowner is now living on a creek that has not been maintained, that doesn't have the flow that it should have, with a dam that doesn't have the capacity, with weather patterns changing. That's where we are. It's not a good situation, and it's extremely complicated. But the good news is, since 19, we've had all leadership working collaboratively to try to do that, and I can talk a little bit about that after the break.
And that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll be right back talking McKay Creek with Mark Mulvihill, and we're going to take a break. More after this.
Check out our archives, podcasts of past KUMA coffee hours, online at mycolumbiabasin.com.
The City of Pendleton wants to help you replace your old, uncertified wood stove with a new, more efficient heating system. We're offering interest-free loans up to $3,500 to help you buy a new stove that could be natural gas, pellet, electric, or wood. With our program, you save money and you help clear winter haze and smog in Pendleton. It's a win-win for everyone. Call 966-0249 or visit the city's website for more information on the wood stove replacement program.
In Enjoy an evening out and support the Umatilla County Historical Society at their annual fundraiser, the Heritage Dinner, at 5:30 p.m. on Friday, October 7th at the Pendleton Convention Center. Miriam Reed will perform her one-woman play, Susan B. Anthony Says a Word, while you dine on a delicious meal and hear from friends of the Historical Society on why they continue to support UCHS. Tickets available at Heritage Station Museum, $60 for members and $65 for non-members. Special thanks to premier sponsor, CHI St. Anthony Hospital.
This is Brian from Burns Mortuary. Did you know that Oregon law requires other vehicles to yield the right-of-way to a funeral procession, and drivers are required to stop at intersections and allow a procession to pass? Other vehicles may not drive between or join the funeral procession. It's the law, and it's also the right thing to do. Thanks for doing your part in the funeral procession safety. Burns Mortuary of Pendleton, serving Umatilla, Union, and Grant counties for over 80 years.
Planning, looking ahead, it's a good practice. Michael Stratton with Stratton Insurance discusses why people buy life insurance.
There's dozens of reasons to buy life insurance, but when you boil everything down, typically people purchase life insurance because they owe it to someone or because they love someone. Life insurance has evolved, it's changed, it's become more expansive and actually less expensive over time. The products that we have available today are more efficient and they do more for you. It's no longer death insurance, it really truly is life insurance. If you get sick, get hurt, have something debilitative happen to you, and you can't perform two of the six daily tasks of living, you can receive a portion or a majority of your death benefit while you're living. Spend it any way as you see fit.
Let's sit down together today and see how life insurance can benefit your family. Stratton Insurance, one responsible source. Follow us on Facebook, see us in Pendleton, Hermiston, LeGrand, The Dalles, and online at stratton-insurance.com.
Local news, local issues, from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Mark Mulvihill. We're talking Mackay Creek. And Mark, you were talking about some of the problems with the situation there. But is it possible to fight the red tape and ensure there won't be future floods?
Yes. And I think that... But it is if you don't have the palate for hanging in year after year after year of meetings and government, then it's not for you. And we have the palate. We have to stay on this. When you use the word red tape, I don't know if it's red tape as much as it is conflicting interests and complications. And everybody has a view, and it's okay. And we honor, we've done a good job of honoring everybody's view, that we're not against each other. How do we find a mutual solution? So what we've done in the last, we've done several things. First of all, we were able to get permits twice to get into the creek. So we have gone in particular between Quinney Bridge and Struve Bridge, the main part of Mackay Residential. We've been able twice to get in there and deepen the channel, and it's made a huge impact during high water events. What we're seeing more and more, Dan, that's very, very complicated. As you said, water goes where it wants, and it changes each one of these events, and so does groundwater. So we're seeing a lot of the damage and a lot of the stress that is occurring to homeowners is water coming up from the ground, from the hydraulics. When you're running a high, it's not creek water, it's groundwater that backs up because the creek is high. And we're seeing that in basements, and we're seeing that. And that's something, that's why the park floods, is groundwater coming up. That's really hard to predict where and how it's going to go up, and the hydraulics are changing. So what we're doing, what is the linchpin to all of our work, is a comprehensive basin study, a multi-$1,000 study that we just commissioned, and it is in play. It's going on right now. In fact, met with the contractors recently and kind of gave my perspective on it as a citizen, and all the entities are as well. But we have to take a look from what's happening in the Blue Mountains. What is the prediction for these weather patterns, to what is the flow coming into the dam, to how do we build back capacity? Really, the dam filling in isn't at the face, it's at the other end where you see all the sediment coming. Can we bring that back? Is that a recommendation? How much water should the creek be able to manage? Should it be 1,500 cubic feet per second? That's what it originally was designed for. I can tell you that 1,500 is going over the banks and it's flooding people. So we need a comprehensive federal study for any kind of federal involvement, for FEMA funding in the future, for additional grants, for additional type of things that we need. Everything comes down to this. Do you have a modern study on that watershed? That's number one. That's in process. So even though we're working around the fringes of getting into the creek, and individual homeowners are fortifying and riprapping, and we also have a very large grant coming in. Kyle Wagner's been working on this, a grant coming in to do riparian on the banks, to do natural trees, shrubs, as a way to help protect the banks. We've got to stop the erosion. There's different ways to do this. We also, there's different ways to protect fish as well through that process. So there are a lot of things happening simultaneously that have made a difference. And we've had high water events 3 years in a row. After 2019, we have not had the catastrophe. Much of that has been because of our interventions. And the general public may not see that, but we're doing a lot. We meet monthly, as I said, but the whole linchpin for us to really get going to untie this Gordian knot is that basin study, and that's in process.
And is there a timeline to that? I mean, I imagine everybody, especially in your situation, you live there. I mean, you know what the risks are and stuff like that. But is there a timeline on when that will be done?
Yeah, we're looking at about another year. You know what? I guess this is maybe me making this up in my head, but I'm thinking we need to get through one more spring of uncertainty. So next April, May, another year of stress. But then I think we're going to have this study done. We're going to have the recommendations. Then it's a matter of implementing it, sharing resources, looking at funding opportunities, these kinds of things. The study will tell us in 2022, here's your situation. Here's your situation. You've got a dam that was built in 1923. Here's the 2022 data. Here's the changing weather patterns. Here's what we're experiencing in the Blues. Here's your creek bed. Here's the condition it's in for that 7-mile stretch. Here's recommendations to deal with that. This is coming, and it's scientifically based, not what somebody thinks needs to happen here or happen over here. And I think it's going to be recommendations that everybody's going to have to sacrifice. I think we're going to have to get real on that 7-mile stretch. What's its purpose? What's its livability? What's its bringing back fish runs and supporting fish runs? What's it doing to protect people's irrigation rights? But we're going to have to get real on this. And the data, I think, will show us that and give us those recommendations. And until then, we're kind of picking away at it, and we are. But I guess in my mind, I'm thinking one more spring we really got to get through, and then we'll get these recommendations implemented.
All right. Well, we're talking Mackay Creek with Mark Mulvihill. Mark, thank you. And I wish everybody whatever luck and patience during this process. And with that, that's going to do it for this Friday edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. We will be back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening.
On us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.